You're listening to the Luther Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Christ is risen!
What? You
can't... He is risen indeed. What? Hallelujah.
But it's Easter!
Attention, people listening to this recording. It is past Erin, and it is not yet Easter.
At time of recording, that is
this
correct.
Is but a when surprise. This
drops, when this drops, it will have already been Easter.
Okay.
Therefore, okay. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Amen. Future Rachel is super excited that it is Easter.
Yes.
Oh, recording podcasts is such a wild time. Yes. So this is dropping on the Friday after Easter, which means we get to celebrate Easter a little early while we're recording. Sorry, not sorry. Today is a story time with Sarah Day. This is a bit of an ode to Scandinavian Lutheranism, which was a fun little romp through some hymnody and geographical history and things that we just haven't talked much about Scandinavian Lutheranism. And this is a lovely little story about a Lutheran lady hymn writer who wrote a little baby Easter hymn in our hymnal that gets kind of buried in Lutheran service book. And so we get to tell her story today, and I'm very excited. Why do you look confused?
Did we say our names?
Yes, we did.
Oh, did we? I don't know. Yeah, we did. Yes. At the very beginning.
Really? I leaned toward the microphone to say, and I'm Rachel.
Wiped everything from my memory. Okay. Okay. I'm ready.
I really
threw
you off.
It's been a week.
It has been a week for a variety of reasons for all three of us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I discovered some things about Scandinavian history that I did not know, which was fun.
Cool.
I discovered some things about Scandinavian Lutheranism that I also did not know. I started this out being like, I'm not sure that this is going to be more than 10 minutes. And then I was down all kinds of like wild rabbit holes about Danish kings in the 1800s. So it was great. I had a very fun time writing this yesterday. So I'm going to tell you today about Brigitte Catherine Boyer, who lived 1742 to 1824. This does not include the 30 Years' War, in case you're wondering.
Oh, shocker.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Though, like, one time, that it is not going to come up at all. No bingo cards today.
Except
for you
now.
Guys. Well, yeah, that doesn't count. And as always, shout out to the Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns, a treasure trove of information and history. I don't know if you do like Easter presents or Pentecost presents or whatever, but this is an excellent set of books to get, or just buy them for yourself because you can. And they're great. Highly recommend.
Tax return presents.
Oh, there you go. Tax return present. Yeah, yeah. If you get a tax return, I don't know. We don't.
We're already getting a hedge trimmer as our tax return present, but thanks for the backup suggestion.
Yeah, mine is a new roof.
Oh,
but, I mean, only a very small part of the roof, but still.
Oh, adulting. Yeah. Isn't it fun? Yeah. So Brigitte's personal story is pretty short, which is kind of unsurprising at this point in telling the stories of historical women. However, she was a very prolific Lutheran hymn writer. And so I feel like we need to know her story. I randomly ran across her name when I was looking at some other hymn sing episode. I don't even remember. This has been on my list of women to talk about for ages. So this is very exciting today. So Brigitte Catherine Boyer was born March 7, 1742 in Gentofte, Denmark, the eldest of Jens Johansen and Dorothea, one of my favorite names, Henrik's daughter. They had seven kids, so she was the oldest. Jens Johansen was in the royal service, so they had connections to royalty. In 1763, she married Hermann Hertz, the forester of the Vordensburg district. Very interesting job. They had four kids in 5 years. Impressive. The crown eliminated his position, though, so their family finances were really rough. And Brigitte wrote to Bishop Harbo of the Lutheran Church in Denmark, and he interceded on her behalf, and the crown paid for the education of the Hertz's sons for a few years. So they like legit had some royal connections. Hermann sadly died in 1775, and the crown prince supported the family for 3 years until Brigitte married Hans Boyer, a customs inspector and judicial advisor in Copenhagen. She died on October 17, 1824 at the age of 82, which is a lovely long life.
Yeah, especially that time of
for a woman history. Of this time period. She did not die in childbirth. Mm-hmm. She had four kids in 5 years, and she lived to 82, which I think is pretty great.
That is.
And that's about all we know of her personal life.
All right.
Oh, end of story.
Okay.
But so she was a prolific and really accomplished poet, hymn writer, and playwright in Denmark. So even though she had a very full life, she also studied and knew English, French, and German, and she studied the poetry of all of these languages. Just pretty, I feel like people from this time period just kind of study languages for fun. A lot of people that we come across know a lot of languages, and I'm really jealous because I really only know English and like bits and pieces of other languages.
Kind of busts apart the myth that women never got education before the 20th century.
Right.
True.
Yes. So she wrote and translated a lot of hymns from other languages. The Society for the Advancement of the Liberal Arts requested submissions of religious poetry in 1773. So she wrote just a mere 20 hymns for them.
Mm.
She also translated Psalms 1 through 89, which debuted in three volumes from 1781 to 1785. So she was writing a lot.
She was the Lisa Clark of her age.
She was the Lisa Clark.
Lisa is the Brigitte. What's her last name again?
Boyer.
Brigitte Boyer.
She is.
Of her age.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing.
That's cool.
That is cool. So the Bishop Ludwig Harbo and Ove Guldberg, secretary to the Danish Crown Prince Frederick, who was later King Frederick the... I wrote sixth, but I'm pretty sure that's actually fourth. Mm. I think I flipped my V in my I.
Mm. It happens.
Check that on me. We're putting together, ready for this title, a hymnal or a collection of old and new hymns for the honor of God and the edification of his church.
Love it.
Titles from this era are just amazing. Nice. Also known as the Guldberg Hymnal of 1778. It got shortened probably for good reason. It's a really long title. In the Church of Denmark and Norway. So this was supposed to replace Thomas Kingo's hymnal. And you may remember his name because we've talked about him at least once or twice as another really prolific Danish hymn writer and has a lot of hymns in our hymnal, a lot of really good hymns in our hymnal. His hymnal wasn't actually really replaced though, but that's okay. The Guldberg hymnal of 1778 introduced a lot of hymns to Danish Lutherans. So it still served a very important purpose, even though it didn't totally replace the Kingo hymnal.
It's more of a supplement.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I think so. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She contributed, Brigitte contributed 124 of her hymns to this hymnal and 24 of her translations. That's a lot. She wrote a lot of hymns.
Well, and those probably weren't even all her hymns. They were probably just the ones she liked.
Right?
Yeah.
The good ones.
These are my best ones.
124
of them. Yeah.
I mean, that is just great. A lot of these hymns didn't survive to later hymnals, sadly. So we only have three in our Lutheran tradition. There may be others elsewhere in other Lutheran traditions because Lutheranism, Scandinavian Lutheranism, Denmark, Norway is today, like those roots are more in ELCA and other Lutheran church bodies. There's some in the LCMS, but a lot of this history I'm not familiar with because it is of other American Lutheran church bodies. Mm-hmm. Which is why I just don't know a lot of this because it's not in my own personal heritage. So Magnus Brostrup Lanstad, a priest in the Church of Norway in the 1800s, and another hymn writer. We have two of his hymns. There's a reason I'm telling you about him. We have two of his hymns, 510, A Multitude Comes from the East and the West. That's a really fun,
like
jaunty little Scandinavian one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 613, To the Omniscient Lord of All. I actually told his story in the Confession and Absolution hymn sing episode from last year. So he's shown up before. Mm. He was trying to get a new hymnal published for the Church of Norway in the 1860s because they asked him to. And they loved this hymnal, except it was in Norwegian instead of Danish because the Church of Norway had been under Danish influence since the Reformation. So one thing to note, this is the part of geographical political history that I didn't realize, is that Denmark and Norway were one kingdom from 1380 to 1814. Didn't know that. So that it makes sense that the Danish and Norwegian Lutherans were all interconnected, and the church was, there was a lot of crossover between the Lutheran churches. So that's why a lot of this history ends up being Norwegian when we get to the United States. I was a little confused about that until I looked up a little bit more political history. But there's a lot of Norwegian-Danish crossover that happens during this time. So Magnus's Kirkesan book was finally sanctioned for use in 1869. And the point of telling you all of this is that in his notes on the hymn writers in this hymnal, he mentioned that Birgit and her contemporary hymn writers during this time had been so influenced by Friedrich Gottlieb Klopstock, which I'll come back to, that their hymns gave, quote, expression to the reigning poetic taste, which as often as not gave a cold elegance instead of the old simplicity and power of Kingo. They didn't like change, basically.
Okay.
Is that meant to be a compliment or an insult?
It's criticism.
Okay, all right. It's too trendy, cold and elegant. We need simplicity and power. We used to have it.
Yes.
Grr, I hate change.
Basically, yes. So this Klopstock figure that he mentions that was so influential was a German epic and lyric poet who lived in the late 1700s and was best known for his epic poem Der Messias, or The Messiah, and the poem Die Auferstehung, The Resurrection, which, fun fact, was set to text in the finale of Mahler's Symphony 2. So, there are some big connections going on here.
Googling that later because it sounds awesome.
Right. Okay. So rabbit trails in this podcast, this is what I mean. They're gotcha. What's that? Must Google what that is. This person must follow that rabbit trail. So yes. Uh-huh. So Klopstock ended up, his text ended up in Mahler Symphony 2, which if you haven't heard, go listen to that on YouTube.
I love Mahler. I'm not sure I've heard this one.
Oh, it's amazing. Anyway, yes. So Klopstock opened up German literature to exploring outside French models. So his subjective vision broke this rationalism that was dominating German literature in the early 1700s. So he was chiefly a lyric poet and used free verse forms for his hymn-like odes that used more expressive use of language. So this is the change that people were like, I don't know if I like this so much. Mm-hmm. It was a lot more expressive language, a lot more free than if you compare Kingo and Boye, you can kind of see that difference in just the writing style. So Klopstock was very active in Denmark. He actually finished Der Messias while he was in Denmark. So he was influencing Danish hymn writers around this time. And apparently not everyone was a super fan of it, but that's all right. Here we are. So at the end of all of this, Birgit's real legacy in Scandinavian churches in the United States is her three single stanza festival hymns. And these are sung on and after the three festival Sundays in Scandinavian churches, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. So what are festival hymns? Another rabbit trail. So these...
This is so fun to write.
So festival hymns are sung in between an exordium or a festival sermon introduction and the reading of the sermon text, which historically is the gospel reading. So if you think in our liturgy, if you're familiar with kind of that flow at the beginning, like the service of the word, it's kind of where the alleluia and verse is in our liturgy. It's not exactly, we don't have exordiums and then the a little verse. We just kind of go straight from the epistle reading to the alleluia verse to the gospel reading. So the structure is familiar, but it doesn't quite work out exactly the same way. But that's where it would have historically been. And I'm not sure if this is still done in Scandinavian Lutheran churches in the U.S. I'd be very curious. The grammar wasn't totally clear in the companion to the hymnal if this was a historical thing that happened or if this is still a thing that is happening. And I don't go to a Scandinavian Lutheran church, so I'm very curious if this is something that is still common in those churches today. So that is a question mark that I don't know. So in Scandinavian Lutheran churches, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost were or are these three festival days. And so the second Christmas day, Easter Monday, and Pentecost Monday are still official holidays in a lot of countries like Austria, Denmark, Germany, Hungary, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Norway, and Switzerland. And I feel like we need to adopt that here because all of us need those days as national holidays.
I agree. Easter Monday, especially.
Yes.
For the simple reason that anyone who has gotten up at like sunrise time and then cooked a major feast and cleaned up after it on Easter Sunday deserves the day off.
Agreed.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like spending 5 days straight in church, like you get to Monday and you're like, I need a day off.
Yes.
So these three hymns are Lutheran Service Book 391, Rejoice, Rejoice, This Happy Morn, which is for Christmas. LSB 488, He is a Risen Glorious Word, which is the Easter one that inspired this podcast. And then the third one, we don't have it in LSB, which I'm kind of sad about now. Like the set is not complete in our hymnal. Yeah. And I'm a little disappointed about that. It was in TLH 230, Holy Spirit, God of Love. It's also in Evangelical Lutheran Hymnary. I think it was published in 1996. The Evangelical Lutheran Synod hymnal. 399, O Light of God's Most Wondrous Love. So it still exists in modern Lutheran hymnals, just not LSB. I'm a little sad about that, but that's all right. So the Christmas hymn has been used as a Christmas festival verse for over 200 years. I think that's pretty cool. The Goldberg Hymnal 1778 says this is one of two possible hymns to be sung from Christmas to Candlemas on February 2nd, which is when we take our tree down. So I feel very validated about this. That's the Christmas season for Scandinavian Lutheran churches. That's when this hymn would have been sung in that little festival spot. And then for the Easter one, the Goldberg hymnal says that this would be sung once before the gospel reading from Easter through Ascension. So that was the season for the Easter one. And then since the Pentecost one isn't in LSB, I don't have the instructions from the Goldberg hymnal, nor do I own a Goldberg hymnal of 1778. So I can't really tell you what the instructions were, but I kind of wonder when the season for that one would have been, if it would have been for the entire season of Trinity from Pentecost to Trinity, like all the way through the summer, because that's the whole season after Pentecost. That's a very long time, but yes, I don't know. Maybe.
But it's very short if they just go from Pentecost to Trinity Sunday.
Well, yeah, it's like
just like a week.
A week. It feels a little too short. I don't know. I would love to know what the season for the Pentecost one, because that covers those three cover like the majority of the church year if it's the whole Pentecost season.
That'd be interesting. I will say of these three hymns, the Easter one is the only one I've sung regularly. And that's because I think the Easter season is long enough that you get to the B-side. Of the hymns, whereas the Christmas season, it's like, over and you don't, it's just the greatest hits.
Yeah, the Christmas season is short. Like, even if you go all the way to February 2nd, I mean, that's long enough. But a lot of churches don't consider the Christmas season all the way through.
No, it's just Christmas through Epiphany.
Right, we get Christmas and then it's Epiphany and it's a season of Epiphany. Which, I mean, that's fine. That's how our liturgical church year works. But I don't know. Now I want to like learn more about Scandinavian Lutheran church years and liturgical feasts and how all of that would have run in the 1800s, because this is very interesting to me. Because typically we don't, we don't consider Christmas through Candlemas unless you're one of the small group of people that thinks of Christmas till Candlemas. So one thing I to note is that the two texts that we have in Lutheran Service Book are both set to Wie schön leuchtet in LSB, which I find very interesting. So
How brightly shines the morning star.
Shines the morning star. So Philip Nicolai was quite influential in Danish hymnody, that he's who wrote that tune. So maybe that's why, I don't know, his hymnody is what originally inspired Magnus Brostrup Lanstad to start writing hymns. So there's some, he was very influential there. So I don't know if that's why, because her poetry lines up with that hymn, with the rhythm of that tune. And that's not like that common of a meter. So
she probably got the hymn tune stuck in her head and just, you know, couldn't remember the words. And so she made up her own and they were really good.
Yeah,
it happens.
I don't know. It's really interesting. So I also wanted to give a shout out to the translators of these hymns too, because I noticed when I was looking at when I went over to Chaplain Denzer's office to pull out the ELH, I didn't realize at the time that it was in TLH. Also, I thought I had to go look at the Evangelical Lutheran Hymnary. So I went and looked there, and the translator for two of them is the same. And I was like, oh, okay, let's look this guy up, because Both of the translators in LSB are in the companion to the hymn, since translators also get a little blurb write up in the author's part, because translation, mm-hmm. as we have discussed, is an art form to itself. Mm-hmm. So Carl Døving translated 391, Rejoice, Rejoice, This Happy Morn. He was born in Norway in 1867. He served as a teacher in South Africa and the United States. He was educated at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. He served Norwegian Lutheran churches in Minnesota and New York. He served as a city missionary in Chicago for over 20 years, visiting ethnic hospitals where he spoke with patients in German, Icelandic, Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, and Greek. Like, he knew all of those languages enough to talk with people. Hmm. That's really, I'm so jealous. So another little fun fact I learned about geographical political history, Iceland was a Danish colony from 1814 to 1918. So the fact that he knew the Icelandic language kind of makes sense. That one threw me off. Like, why would you know Icelandic if you're Norwegian? But it makes sense.
Greenland is still Iceland, is still Danish.
Mm, true.
I apparently need to learn a lot more Scandinavian geography and political history, because I just don't know any of them. That was not part of my world history classes in high school. So he loved hymnody and collected over 1,400 volumes of hymns. That is a lot of. I think I maybe know one person that might rival that, and that is Ben Kologi. I don't remember how many hymnals he has. It's a lot. I don't know if it's 1,400. It's a lot of hymnals. He donated them to Luther College. They're now at Luther Seminary. This is how this is relevant. He was a member of the Hymnody Committee of the Norwegian Lutheran Church, which was part of the development of the Lutheran Hymnary, which was published in Decorah, Iowa in 1913. So the Lutheran Service Book, he translated some great hymns. 391, obviously, Rejoice, Rejoice, This Happy Morn. Selected stanzas of 555, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. It's one of my favorite hymns.
Oh, wow, right? Cool.
Mm-hmm. I know. 613, To the Omniscient Lord of All. 645, Built on the Rock the Church Shall Stand. Another super classic. And selected stanzas of 676, Behold a Host Arrayed in White.
Huh.
That's like my favorite All Saints Day hymn. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we discussed that one on a previous hymn sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew that one is also Scandinavian, and I knew that, but I did not realize that Carl Døving had translated all of these hymns. And these are some really epically great Lutheran hymns. That is Carl Døving. And the other translator is George A.T. I don't know how to say his last name. Rich? Maybe R-Y-G-H. We're going to go with Rich. Rich?
When did he live?
1860.
Rich? Where is he from?
Rich. He was born in Chicago.
Chicago.
So which does not help?
Could be Rye. I don't know.
Oh, it could be Rye. That's true. Anyway, it's not super relevant to this, but I really want to know how to pronounce that name properly, if anybody knows. He translated 488, He is a Risen Glorious Word, and TLH 230/ELH 399, Holy Spirit, God of Love. He was born in Chicago in 1860, so also a similar timeline. He also went to Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and Luther Seminary in St. Paul, and also Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. Now, he was kind of all over the place during his career. He taught at Luther College and later at St. Olaf in Minnesota, like epic music school. He also served as a pastor in Portland and Wisconsin, Chicago, Minneapolis. He held a lot of different teaching positions at universities, the most interesting of which it was teaching Scandinavian languages at the University of North Dakota from 1891 to 1895. I think that's a pretty cool teaching gig. And he was editor of three different Lutheran periodicals from 1909 to 1930. And this is all Lutheran culture that I am unfamiliar with because it's Scandinavian, not German. But I feel like I need to now research all of these different things because I just don't, the names of these periodicals I've never heard of. So this is really cool to read more about this. He also served on the English Hymn Book Committee to prepare the Lutheran hymnary. So he and Carl Døving would have actually worked together to put this hymnal together. So they knew each other. The circle is complete. Also interesting that he served as the National Lutheran Council Commissioner to the Baltic States in 1919 and 1920, right after World War I. So obviously he translated a lot of Scandinavian hymns into English. In our Lutheran service book, we have, of course, 488, He is a Risen Glorious Word, 548, Thanks to Thee, O Christ Victorious, and select stanzas of 589, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens, and 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. Oh. This is a Thomas Kingo hymn.
Okay.
He was also translating Thomas Kingo.
Huh.
Makes sense. So we talk a lot about German and Polish and Silesian hymn writers across a lot of these hymn sings, but Scandinavian hasn't come up quite as much. So it's really fun to highlight a Danish hymn writer and Norwegian Lutheran roots in our hymnal. Hmm. This has been really fun. So we got to sing these because they're only one stanza. And even though it's Easter, I'm going to sing the Christmas one also. Because.
Of course. I support you in this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I have no idea what key I'm in. I also am still under the weather, so. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. A Savior unto us is born. The Christ, the Lord of glory. His lowly birth in Bethlehem. The angels from on high proclaim and sing redemption's story. My soul extol God's great favor. Bless him ever for salvation. Give him praise and adoration.
I love how you always pitch a hymn like two steps higher than I would naturally think to put it. Always catches me by surprise.
Yeah.
I'm a soprano.
Must be nice to live up in the stratosphere.
All right. And then we've got 488, which I keep saying 488. I don't actually think. Oh, it is. Sorry. It's actually got music to it. That's why it was confusing me. Okay. So this is the Easter one because it's Easter. He is a risen, glorious word. Now reconciled is God my Lord. The gates of heaven are open. My Jesus did triumphant die, and Satan's arrows broken lie, destroyed hell's fiercest weapon. Oh, hear what cheer Christ victorious, rising glorious, life is giving. He was dead, but now is living. I don't think I've ever sung that one before. So
I have.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy to hear it again.
Memorized.
I've never sung it. That is so interesting.
Yeah.
How long have you guys known this one?
Years.
Yeah. I feel like it was one that, like, I wonder if it was one that we used. Was this one in LW?
Oh, I bet you. I don't have an LW in the. I bet you it was.
So if it is.
I bet you it was.
Then I bet that this was one that, like, we used as part of, like, for Easter season, like, a substitute portion of the liturgy or something, like one of the, like, sort of celebratory songs in there. And so we would sing it often, and it's short enough that I have it memorized. So I don't remember when I memorized it or how, but it has to have been because we sang it frequently.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly why I know this. Yeah. I'm so familiar with this tune, and that is because I was involved in worship planning for several years, and it is the perfect thing to slot in as the closing hymn. Sometime between Easter 2 and Easter 5.
Yep.
When you're running low on Easter hymns, but you want to do some more. And I love short hymns as the closing hymn. Like, it's
that's
like,
true.
Let's
that's
praise true. The Lord and go to brunch. So this hymn got a lot of play.
I love it. Yeah. So it is in TLH. It's in LBW, but not LW, which I find
interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know then how is that I came. I don't remember memorizing it, but it's also short enough that it's not hard to memorize.
Well,
it sort of flows nicely.
Yeah. It's obviously been in our Lutheran hymnological history for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And since it was in TLH, I'm sure people kind of just knew it and pulled
that's
it in.
True.
It's also in LBW.
True.
So, like, there's some, you know, stuff was odd in that time period of Lutheran hymnody. So it might have just gotten pulled in because it just kind of existed in our hymnals. I don't know. That's interesting.
Was it
that it's
a supplement? It doesn't matter.
Maybe.
Doesn't
I'm matter. Only looking at hymnary.org, so I don't know. Don't,
this is fine. It's a mystery how I came to have it memorized.
It's definitely a very Lutheran thing, though, because it's only in 16 hymnals, according to Hymnary, which is a very short list. And a lot of them are Lutheran hymnals. Huh. So, it's very curious. It's very solidly in our Lutheran hymnody. So, I'm going to attempt the TLH one that I...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other,
did not
the mysterious
practice.
One. Okay.
I'm going to test my sight reading on air cold.
All right.
This could end badly.
I won't look up the score. So whatever you do, I'm sure it will sound right.
Yes. It's a German melody. How hard could it be?
Famous last words.
Oh, man.
This one I am actually going to give myself a pitch because... TLH is famously higher than LSD.
They really are. They really are.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to attempt this sight reading from TLH, something that I've never sung before, but I have musical training, so this should be fine, right?
You can do it.
Holy Spirit, God of love, who our night dost brighten, poured on us from heaven above, now our faith enlighten. In thy light we gather here, show us that Christ's promise clear is amen forever. Jesus, our ascended Lord, oh, fulfill thy gracious word, bless with us thy favor. Amen, because it's TLH and all the hymns end in amen.
So it's still a one verse hymn?
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Yep.
Okay. A single stanza.
Okay.
It's
not as
really
catchy.
Not as catchy.
Yeah, no, I do not love that tune. Even
however,
though you sing it very nicely.
Melody.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's why this one didn't make it into LSB. Uh-huh. But it was in TLH. So that's if you're so inspired.
Yeah.
And as a church musician, to throw in a little throwback Pentecost single verse hymn from Katrin Boye, it's in TLH. So it's there. You can use it. Right. It's not even that archaic. It's just, we just don't currently have it in our hymnal. So yeah. So that's all I have. This is really fun.
That is.
Very fun rabbit trails.
Yes.
Yes.
Not nearly as short as I thought it was going to be by the end of it.
No, this is great.
It does sort of reinforce that none of this stuff happens in isolation.
Right. Mm.
That we've got poets talking to other poets, listening to hymns and getting them stuck in their heads, and then translators who are friends with other translators. You know, it's like it's a family thing, all this hymn writing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is a time frame of hymnody that I don't talk about too often, like the late 1700s, early 1800s. I mean, I think there's a lot from the early 1700s that we talk about previously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just making that up and I just don't remember dates because numbers are bad in my brain. But this is really fun to explore all of this history. And there is Katrin Boye for you. And I'm pronouncing her name Boye. I have no idea if that's right, but it sounds way more
fun. You mean Brigitte?
Brigitte, yes.
Brigitte.
All right. Brigitte Katrin is her middle name.
Sorry. Brigitte Katrin Boye. So there you go. So
awesome.
I'll put the link to the TLH one in the show notes also. There's all three of these are on Hymnary. So if you don't have a hymnal handy, they're all available on Hymnary. They're all public domain. So you can use them as you please. We'll put those links in the show notes just for kicks and giggles. You can join our group on Facebook, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or follow us on Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. Join our community there as well. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. Happy Easter! You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Amen.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.